So it's kind of Ben's talk there. You hear all these things about aging, and he showed the bottle of wine there, and we all want to age like wine. Well, on Friday night, I'm 52 now, but you know, I'm a phys ed guy, so I try and stay in shape. But my kids play tennis, and so there's a parent kid mixer on Friday night at the tennis center, and so we went out and played some doubles with the kids. I'm not a real tennis player, but you know, you have a lot of fun. And you know, the next morning I wake up and I think, I thought I was aging like wine. I think I'm aging like milk. Because you're just not used to all that different activity, right? So I'm going to talk a bit today about some of my research work with older farmers. I'm going to start with a bit of an introduction about farming in general, and talk about some of the issues with disease and injury in farmers, some work on that's been done on medication use and injury in farmers, and then some very, very new work. We just did some preliminary analysis. Actually, I was in Saskatoon last week doing this, looking at work exposure in older farmers to determine if farmers self-limit if they're ill or taking medication in the amount of time they spend farming. The first three bullet points here, the introduction, the comorbidity, and medication use, are sort of a summary of an article that's going to be forthcoming in the American Journal of Industrial Medicine. It's kind of a review article. So anybody a farmer here or raised on a farm? Yeah, I kind of figured there'd be a few out here in Manitoba. So you're probably well aware agriculture is one of the most dangerous occupations in Canada. The workers' compensation statistics don't really reflect it, how dangerous farming is, because there's limited farmers involved in compensation schemes. But from our statistics that we collect through the Canadian Agricultural Surveillance Program, it indicates it's a very dangerous occupation. Within the farm population, the older farmer has been identified to be at greater risk. Unlike other occupations, farmers continue to contribute to farm operations well beyond what would be considered the normative retirement age. And the average age, like we heard earlier, the average age of workers in Canada is around 45 now, but the average age of farmers in Canada is around 55, so there's about a 10-year gap there. And it could be, if we're talking about an aging workforce, that some of the stuff we've seen in older farmers and injury, could be kind of like the canaries in the coal mine. There's a tendency for people to start working beyond what is a normative retirement age now for a variety of reasons. The economy of living across Canada is changing. I know in Alberta the price of housing and rent and everything has increased exponentially in the last few years. So retirement with good funding now is maybe out of reach for a lot of people, and a lot of people may be working beyond retirement age. So here's a graph showing the rates of work-related fatalities by age for farm population. And you can see that after age 50 or so, there's quite a steep increase in the fatality rates. And you get into the 80-plus crowd, and it's reasonably high. For hospitalizations, it's not quite as dramatic, but again, there's quite a steep slope after age 50. So what we're seeing from our data from our surveillance program is that the older farmers are at a greater risk for injury and particularly fatalities. Now, the nature of farm work, long hours in spring and fall. Sometimes farmers work around the clock to either put crops in or take crops off. It's a dynamic environment. There's animal handling. Animals are unpredictable. There's machinery. Often people are working alone with machinery, or machinery like animals can, on soft, mucky ground and slippery areas, can act in an erratic fashion and be related to injury. There's extremes of cold and heat, and with declines in aerobic capacity and cardiovascular stuff that Ben was talking about earlier, you find that older people do not respond. Or maybe not respond is not the right word, don't their bodies don't react as well to extremes of heat and cold as younger workers. There's quick fixes of equipment to maintain productivity. So you've heard the stories about people haywiring their machinery together to keep it going during the peak season. So sometimes the quick fixes lead to unsafe work situations with that equipment. There's a large variation in age and style of equipment, and equipment is commonly used for a variety of purposes, some of which may be contraindicated. For example, we have a lot of injuries, a lot of fatalities in older farmers pulling stumps with tractors. Now, anybody here ever pulled a stump with a tractor? Yeah, a few hands go up. Now, what happens if that tractor's not heavy enough and you're pulling that stump, right? The front of the tractor comes up because of the torque from the engine, and you flip it over on its back. So doing stuff like that, and if you're not reacting quickly enough to get your foot, hand or foot off the throttle, that tractor flips over backwards on you. So not such a good idea, perhaps. So why don't farmers retire? They like the life. It's a lifestyle rather than a job. There's no one to take over the farm. Often the either farmers don't have any kids because they're old single crotchety bachelors that never had any, or their sons or daughters are just not interested in being farmers. They've seen the hard life and the struggles and the long hours that their folks have worked, and they're not interested. The land price is not good enough to provide for retirement. This has been a common problem, at least I know from talking to people in Saskatchewan. Now, the price of commodities have been rising a bit recently, and the price of land is going up. And many have not contributed to pension plans, so they're looking for that land sale to pay for their retirement. And the other thing is that increased mechanization makes farming less physical these days. So you can work longer on the farm, even with a certain level of disability, because there is, it's much more mechanized. I was talking to a guy a while back that recruits for oil rigs in Alberta, and he said they used to always recruit off the farm because the farm boys were always strong and tough and they could work along 12-hour days, or work the long 12-hour days you have to do in the oil rigs. Well, they don't recruit farm kids anymore because they're fat and lazy. They drive ATVs, there's round bales. They just don't have the physical stamina anymore to work in the rigs. They go to high schools and recruit athletes. So farming is becoming a lot more mechanized and a lot less physical labor. So why medication use and comorbidity management? Why are we looking at these issues with farmers? Well, intervention points for health and safety of farmers has always been traditionally difficult. The work is self-paced. Work is part of the farmer's identity. And work styles and habits may be very hard to change or influence. And medication monitoring and management may be a plausible intervention point. So working with healthcare providers and spouses and things like that, this information is important if as a health and safety intervention. And the care of significant comorbidity and management of medication may work to help prevent injury. So now I'm going to talk a bit about disease factors that we found through reviewing the literature that we found related to farm injury. So musculoskeletal problems, back pain, previous injury, this is the number one correlate of further injury, and I think Ben talked about this earlier, and so did Andrew, talking about the people who have injuries sometimes re-injure. The people that have researched this in the farm population feel this is, because farm work is self-paced, you get to return to work rather quickly, and you may have no choice but to return to work as quickly as possible, depending on what season it is. So if you return to work before there's significant rehabilitation, it may limit your ability to react to a dynamic environment. You may guard pain, which leads to decreased mobility and balance issues. You know how when you've got a sore back, you just don't want to do certain things. You want to guard that pain, right? You may have insufficient strength due to insufficient rehabilitation, and this results, from a premature return to work. The number two disease-related factor that the literature suggests is related to farm injury is hearing deficit. This can prevent awareness of hazardous situations, You might not be able to hear machinery if it's going sideways on you, so you have extraneous maintenance or blockage problems. Can also lead to problems with avoidance of hazards, so your sensory awareness of the environment, and communication of hazards between workers and bystanders. So if you can't hear and someone's yelling at you to get out of the way and you can't hear that, that could be hazardous to you. In fact, a few months ago in Alberta, we had two old guys working with a skid steer loader, and one of them backed over the other, even though a bystander in the area saw the guy yelling, "Don't back up now, don't back up now," but the guy that was operating the skid steer couldn't hear him through a loss of hearing. The number three thing is sleep deprivation, lack of quality sleep, daytime sleepiness. This can lead to inattention to tasks, inability to respond to the active environment. And this is frequently related to arthritis pain, movement disorders such as Parkinson's disease, or urinary tract disorders where you got the old guys with stuffed up prostates getting up all night going to pee. Number four, arthritis. Again, this can lead to an inability to react to a dynamic environment. You have guarding for pain, decreased mobility, balance issues, and chronic mobility problems. So yeah, one of the issues we have, a big issue with the older farmers, is animal handling. We have a lot of injuries through animal handling with the older farmers. And often the older farmers get relegated to that task of animal handling because it's something they're familiar with. They have a long history of dealing with animals. But it can lead to injury because animals are very unpredictable. The number five issue you find in the literature related to farm injury is depression. This may be caused by an inattention or dissatisfaction, inattention to the task at hand, or dissatisfaction with farm-related job tasks. Stress, that was mentioned earlier this morning, is the centenarians or whatever they're called, the 100-year-old folks. They last longest due to the lack of stress or their ability to let stress run off their backs. With stress, there's high levels of cognitive activity devoted to stressors. Anybody here has bills pending that they have to pay and whatnot. That you devote a lot of cognitive activity to balancing how you're going to pay that mortgage or pay those bills or come up with that down payment. So you have an inability to attend to tasks safely because you're thinking about other things. There's also a stress physiological activity that can lead to elevated hormone levels, and this may lead to excessive fatigue, so you're back to that sleep thing again. Some other sort of one-off factors that have been related to farm injury. Asthma has been found to be related. Allergic reactions may lead to altered reaction to mechanical stressors. Asthma has also been related to depression and injury in other labor sectors, so there might be a bit of a connection there. Neurotoxic exposures, like from pesticides and fertilizers and things like that, this may cause, if you don't use personal protective equipment or have safe handling of these types of chemicals, may lead to long-term peripheral nerve damage, confusion, drowsiness, or poor concentration. So it's like sniffing glue for a long time. Your brain kind of goes after a while. Urinary tract disorders may lead to distraction, lack of sleep. If you're driving the tractor and you got the stuffed up prostate and you have the urge to urinate, but you got to get that crop off, it's not such a good thing when you're working. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I was talking about disease-related factors. Now, there's a whole other body of knowledge on medication use and injury that I'm going to talk a bit about now. Now, medication use in older persons is poorly understood. There's sort of the three P's of medication use. There's pharmacokinetics. That's a process of what the body does to the drug. So you take a pill, what does your body do to that? There's the pharmacodynamics of the process of what the drug does to the body. And then there's something called polypharmacy, and this is multiple medication use. And this can include both prescription and over-the-counter medications. Now, with pharmacokinetics, this is what the body does to the drugs. There's four components. There's absorption. This is virtually the same for young and old. There's distribution. This is the changes in body composition in older, older persons alter drug distribution. So if you have fat-soluble drugs, and we have a generally, it's the trend to have a maybe a bit more adipose or fat tissue as we get older. This can change the way the drug's distributed in the body. Metabolism is generally slower in older persons, so the drugs wash out of the body in a slower fashion. You might have heard of drugs with long half-lives, so they tend to stay in the body longer. They metabolize slower. And then they're finally excretion. And generally with older people, there's decreased renal blood flow, and this leads to delayed elimination. So our kidneys just don't work as well anymore. Now, with pharmacodynamics, there's been little research done in this area. Few drug trials are conducted with older persons. However, there's some evidence that older persons are more sensitive to medications of the same dose when compared to younger persons, and this may be related to altered pharmacokinetics, so distribution, metabolism, and excretion. Finally, polypharmacy. Newer, improved drug treatments are regularly added to physicians' available treatments every day. If you watch the American TV channels, you see the ads all the time. Ask your pharmacist about this or your physician about this particular new drug that's on the market. Multiple diseases in older individuals predispose them to multiple treatments. In people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, they can be taking as many as 12 to 15 prescription medications and over-the-counter medications at the same time. Father-in-law, before he passed away, he had a pill case, it was huge. Like, he was taking so many different things. It was amazing. On their own, drug side effects are often predictable, but in combination can cause unexpected disorientation, confusion, altered balance abilities, hypotension, which is low blood pressure, so altered blood flow to the brain, and sedation. So it's like Andrew was saying, you can look at a pill bottle and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be driving a tractor today or whatever. But if you, and that's a one-off side effect. We've all gone to the pharmacy where you get your pills and they give you this massive sheet of side effects, potential side effects for the drug, right? Anybody ever read those? You probably don't want to, right? You just want to take the medication, hope it works. But each one of those drugs comes with one of those sheets. So if you've got somebody that's taking five or six medications, there's five different arrays of side effects, and nobody knows for any one individual, because everybody's variable, and the regimen of drugs people take is very variable, how those will interact to cause any of these problems. So there's limited information on medication use and injury in farmers. Some of the studies that have been done found that use of any prescription medication was related to injury. They found that stomach medication was related to injury, so maybe related to farm stress. Heart medication was related to injury, so maybe altered blood flow, hypotension, things like that. Antidepressants, use of antidepressants have been related to injury. Painkillers, in one of my own studies in Alberta, we looked at older farmers, and we found that people who were recently taking painkillers but appeared to have stopped taking them were at higher risk of injury. So perhaps the moral is there that it's better off to treat the pain and do that rather than wean yourself off the painkillers prematurely. Also, we found that sleep medication, our medications in the benzodiazepine class, were related to injury. And this is fairly common for many injury studies of falls in older people or driving injuries in older people. Because these drugs often cause long-lasting sedation. And it's also been shown that people taking benzodiazepines tends to decrease your inhibition to do things. So you might take on tasks that normally you would ask for help or not do by yourself. So there's that factor with the benzodiazepine group. So the conclusions of this particular review of illness and medication factors. Agriculture is unique where farmers work well beyond the retirement age. The average age of farmers is about 55 years. This is a very old occupational cohort, and people work well into their 80s. And illness and medication use appear to be related to injury in these older farmers. So this brings up the question, One of the questions we had after we did this review is, does illness modify work exposure in farmers? So these people are sick and they're old. Does this make a difference to how they're working? So what we wanted to look at is, what is the exposure to farm work for older farmers? Does exposure change with age? And does exposure change as a consequence of illness or medication use? Now, there's one study looking at this, and it just came out like weeks ago, and it was a survey of older Illinois farmers. There's 87 of them aged 55 to 70. And what they found in this fairly small survey is, in the spring and fall, there's no variation by age. So regardless of the age of the farmers, they're working the same level of exposure in these high productivity seasons. Anybody here know what the SF-36 is? It's a generic health-related quality of life survey. And farmers scored better, or the same or better, on physical health components, but younger farmers scored lower on mental health components. And I'll show you some data later that goes along with this, but the younger farmers had more issues with poor mental health than the older farmers. Hearing loss, followed by high cholesterol, is the most common comorbidities in this group, and medication use increased with age. So just a very small one-off study that was the first out of the gate to look at this area. So anyway, I had the opportunity to participate in some data collected from the Saskatchewan Farm Cohort Study. And this is a cross-sectional survey. It's a random sample of 5,292 farm people associated with 22,392 Saskatchewan farms. And in the sample, and you can just see from the proportion here, there are 1,255 male farmers aged 55 and older. And the survey included exposure to farm work, measures of illness and medication use, and some demographic information. So with this population, we had about 180 or so, about 14% of the folks were 75 and older. And this is an old population. About half the population was age 55 to 64. So it's a really aging population, these farmers. Now, the status of the farmers on the farm, we always ask this question, whether they're hired workers or owners. And as you can see that the proportion of owners here is quite a bit higher in the younger category. And when you get to the old category, they start to flip over into the children of, parents of the owner-operator. So there's a transition that goes on here where people are owner-operators, and then they switch over to become the parents of the owner-operators as the farm is transitioned from parents to their offspring. As far as age goes, you can see that the younger group has a much higher percentage of people that graduated from high school. You get into the old farmers and a much lower percentage of farmers actually completed formal high school. Farmers who consider themselves retired, a very small proportion in the younger old farmers, and as the farm groups age, the proportion of people who said they were retired is about one-third of the farmers in the 75 to an older group. Now, here's where it gets, that's just some boring demographics, but here's where it gets kind of interesting. We heard earlier about hearing and vision being the two things that drop off the most over time. These data support that. So we've got these farmers here. And if you look at the top here, we've got hearing loss and eye problems at the bottom here, the two blue bars. And you can see with age, hearing loss, the percentage of farmers with hearing loss goes up, and the same with the percentage of farmers with vision problems or eye problems goes up. But the interesting thing is with high blood pressure, arthritis, heart disease, stomach problems, and lung, there's quite a difference between the 55 to 64-year-olds and the 65 to 74-year-olds, but then the people who report these as comorbidities kind of levels off with these particular groups here. Now, what might be happening here, and we can't control for this through the survey process, is that people who may be increasing in these comorbidities either die, right, or they leave the farm permanently and they're not considered farmers any longer. So the farmers here with these comorbidities that are in this old age group are relatively have relatively the same level of comorbidity as their younger counterparts here. Distribution of medication use, again, you see the same pattern where it kind of levels off after the adjustment from the 55 to 64-year-olds to the 65 to 74-year-olds, so kind of levels off a bit there. Maybe a bit of an increase of stomach here, but generally the same. Now, this is interesting. Average weekly work exposure, the 55 to 64-year-olds are doing the most work. For practically all seasons, it drops off over time. Now, there is a statistical interaction here between winter work and age, so that while there's a drop-off with age in the terms of farm work, they drop off more in the wintertime. So older farmers tend, tend to not work as much in the wintertime proportionally as the other seasons. They go to Phoenix, right? So farm work by medication use, the number of medications, this is statistically significant here, this drop-off over time. So people are taking 1, 2, 3 or more medications, are taking significantly more, are working significantly less than the farmers taking 9 or 1. In terms of illnesses, almost everybody in this age group has at least one illness that was asked about. So it's 1 or less, 2, 3, 4, 5 or more. This is not a statistically significant variation over time. So it appears that farmers are working relatively the same amount of hours regardless of how many illnesses they have. So just back to our research questions for this specific part. What is the exposure to farm work for older farmers? Well, they work a lot, even into their 80s. Does exposure change with age? Yes, it does. It drops off with age. And does exposure change as a consequence of illness or medication use? Now, I wouldn't be a real research geek if I didn't show you a table like this that none of you will understand. But I won't walk over to it. But the bottom line is here, if you look at this, and I apologize for the rather busy table here. If you consider all these things here, like the demographic variables, works off the farm, considers themselves retired, age, education, things like that, and then you look at the number of medications, really the drivers of what causes farm or what's related to the amount of exposure or the hours worked on the farm is is not the number of medications or the illnesses they have. It's really related to what their status is on the farm, whether they're working off the farm as a primary occupation, whether they consider themselves retired, or what their age is. The number of medications has a small, very small effect. It's significant, but very small. And the number of illnesses that they have does not even factor statistically in the prediction of farm work. Does that make sense to everybody? So our preliminary conclusions based on our look at farm work exposure, farmers in the oldest group appear to be very healthy for their age. Old farmers work a lot. The average 75-year-old works 34 hours per week. Farmers do work less with age. Farmers taking more medication appear to work less. And demographic variables have the greatest impact on farm work exposure. And farmers appear to work in spite of illness, so they may have multiple illnesses, but they're still working the same amount of hours as people who have less illness. And that's my talk.